you once again and be able for just a few moments sing some beautiful songs. Heaven Holds All to me is certainly a favorite of so many members of the Lord's church. It's good to be able to sing that in harmony with those who love the Lord and love the truth. So it's good to be with you. And we're a little bit short tonight, and I'm glad you're here and glad you sang out this evening. If you've got your Bibles and want to follow along, look in Acts, the 11th chapter. Acts, the 11th chapter, we'll start with a description that's given to someone, and we'll go on from there. Acts, the 11th chapter. Let's begin in verse 22. Acts 11, verse 22. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of Holy Spirit and faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Kind of one little glimpse into Barnabas, which is an interesting person that appears in the New Testament. He's not one of your main characters, but he does play a significant role. And he was significant in the development of the gospel of Christ. But the thing that I wanted to talk about for a little while was this verse 24 where it says, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. When you think of a good person, what do you think of? Besides me. But if you just think of the word good, you know and recognize that it can apply in a lot of different ways. And what you might think is a good person, somebody else might not think is a good person. And we get into this sort of this idea in which there are good qualities to probably everybody, and then maybe some not so good qualities of other people. But in the eyes of God, God could describe a person as being a good person, and Luke, writing the book of Acts, is inspired to write this and gives us one little glimpse of Barnabas at this time and describes him in verse 4 that he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. What makes someone a good person in the eyes of God may not be what makes somebody a good person in the eyes of the world. That could be a very different stretch, but it's interesting just to look through the Bible. You could be exhausted to look at all the times the word good is used in describing people, but generally talking about somebody who's a member of the Lord's church, but then come back and make a application, some thoughts that I've thought about before with regard to Barnabas. And so when I think of it, go back with me to the Old Testament. Look at just some statements back there. Proverbs, the 22nd chapter. This morning we were looking in Proverbs, the 23rd chapter. But as I said, there's a lot of passages that mention the idea of just being good. But it seems like the Bible teaches the idea of being good from the perspective of God and with certain traits. Proverbs 22 and verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name is to be chosen rather than. And in other words, there's so many places that we have to make decisions between this or that. We can't have them all. And almost certainly in our life, there would be many times that we have to say no to something and yes to something else. But in the Bible here, when we talk about somebody that is good, he says here, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And it's maybe the idea also that somebody who is in the world who has chosen a good name rather than great riches might not be seen to be good in the world. Matter of fact, somebody might think, what are they good for? But that's not the way God sees it. And Solomon reveals here to us a good name is that which can be chosen. And it should be chosen. But a good name having been chosen is something that describes person and those qualities of being good. And kind of like we talked this morning, Proverbs, the next chapter, Proverbs 23rd chapter, where we said, buy the truth and sell it not. That's something we're going to have to do, and you do it on purpose. You don't do it by accident. It's something that you make a definite decision about, that I'm going to learn the things of God. I'm going to apply them to my life. I'm going to develop them in my life. And that's where it starts, and that's a good idea. So we're here in Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, back up to Psalms. Look in Psalms 37. Psalms 37. Forgive my voice again. Psalms 37, and we'll look down this time at about verse 23. Psalms 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Steps of a good man. That's what we want. What a description that is. And he's describing somebody we would talk about as being good. It says his steps are ordered by the Lord. Maybe on purpose, a part of his life, what he understands he should be doing, and then maybe in some ways behind the scenes in which God providentially orchestrates his past and the things that happen in his life. But it's just simply the statement, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That's a good thought. If I would just ask, well, what is a good person? Well, a good person, somebody who chooses to be a good person. And that means choosing the Word of God and the will of God and the gospel of Christ for their life. But more than that is understanding that once we begin that step out into what God's will would have us to be and to do, then God begins to reply to our life. And just somehow, maybe we don't fully comprehend it, but he just simply the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Isn't that a beautiful description? That God would delight in the person who has chosen a good name, but also to be a good person, and God orders his steps. That's a great thought. Well, again, look further on over. Look over in Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter. Ecclesiastes, look at David and Solomon all together tonight. Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, and we read down, just begin with me, and well, just read verse 1. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Well, it's not really like the previous verse we just read, is it? He's talking about your death, or my death. He's talking about, as we read here, a good name is better than the finest of perfumes, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. That's a great thought also, that even in death you're blessed of God, and that in your death you pass from this world of sorrow and sin, and you pass to a world where you hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and that you live in the blessedness of the Lord. It's a good thought, wonderful thought. And then there's others that we could read in the Old Testament. Let me go to the New Testament. Luke, the 6th chapter, one of the great statements made by Jesus about being a good person. And then again, he's talking about what they accomplish in their lives. Luke, the 6th chapter, and we've read this one before. He talks, well, let's see. Begin with me in verse 43. Luke 6, verse 43. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from the bramble bush. Verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Talking about a good man there, he is talking about that we produce in our life what we think, what we're focusing on. When he just says a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, whether that's speaking and teaching, whether it's disagreeing with somebody, but it's that good person that comes from his heart, what he speaks. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's incredibly important that our heart be good in the sense of what God would have it to be, because that's the only way we're going to be a good person. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we want to be careful about how we conduct ourselves in the eyes of the Lord. So we recognize a good person is going to be many different things. He's going to accomplish many different things. Come back with me into the further end of the New Testament. Look at Romans, the 10th chapter. I just suggest to you that, first of all, someone who is what we would call a good person is somebody who chooses the gospel. I mean, that's the easiest thing to say. The gospel being the good news, euangelion, the good news of Christ. Romans, the 10th chapter, look down at about, well, let's see, verse 14. Romans 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? And he's talking about the gospel's going to come to mankind. He says in verse 15, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. A person who hears the gospel of Christ, a person who proclaims the gospel of Christ, a person who takes that gospel into their heart and lives it out in their life, that's a good person. There's a lot of good people right there. And that's really what God wants, and that all members of the body of Christ are people who have heard the gospel and believed in and obeyed the gospel and are taught by gospel preachers, and they continue their studies to grow in that knowledge. Those who obey the gospel of Christ are truly good people. And you could just continue all the way down through there. Obeying means the different things of the gospel itself. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Uh-oh. Oh, there's a problem there then. When we talk about a good person, we're talking about people who have heard the gospel, believed in it, and trusted in it, obeyed it, and yet Paul's talking to the Jewish people here. We don't have time to get into it, but Paul's just making a point here. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For even Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? And though we have that famous verse, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that faith is that which connects us to God or allows us to be identified with God and obey the gospel. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and walk in the light as he is in the light. So, quite obviously, when you talk about who's a good person, despite what everybody in the world may think or what other people may think, a person who obeys the gospel of Christ, God looks at them and says, that's a good person. But it's also a person who goes about doing good, isn't it? Galatians, the 6th chapter. It's not just the person who hears and obeys the gospel, but they develop in the gospel. Galatians 6, and read verse 10. Paul writes this. He says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. Paul's encouraging the Galatian brethren here, as we have opportunity, let's do this good, especially to the household of faith. Look back in the first chapter of Galatians. In the first chapter, Paul just says, verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through men, but through Jesus Christ, the God of the Father, who raised him from the dead. And down at verse 6, he says, and this is the thing he's concerned about, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you to the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Something's going wrong there, hasn't it? And it's a scary idea. He says, we ought to do good to those, to everyone, especially the household of faith, but all of a sudden they're turning away from the faith and they're not as good as they once were. We need to be people who are good to the gospel. We need to be people who take that gospel into our life and live it out in our life. If we have erring brethren, look back over in the 6th chapter with me again, 6th chapter of Galatians. We read verse 10. Look back at verse 1. We read this one. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Brethren, what are we going to do? We find out there's a problem. We're going to go talk to someone. We're going to pray for them. We're going to tell them there's a lot here to be salvaged. You're an important person in the eyes of the Lord. We need to recognize that. Look at verse 6. Let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Some people were not growing as they should in Galatia. He was concerned about that. And Jesus even teaches us over Matthew, the 5th chapter, we got to be people of good to the good and the bad, the people of the world and those who are members of the body of Christ. Look with me over in Titus. Titus, 3rd chapter. It's not just the idea of obeying the gospel and doing good to others. It's being careful to orchestrate our life of being people of good works, good actions, good thoughts. In Titus, the 3rd chapter, we read down at verse 8. Titus 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. We're talking about a good person. And this is something they're going to be doing. And he said, brother, I want you to think about this. He said, this is a faithful saying. This is trustworthy. You can bank on it. And these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to do certain things. And not do certain things. Should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable. Like in 1 Corinthians 15, along this same line of what he's talking to the Galatian brethren. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. That's what he tells the Corinthians. He told the Galatians, or the people in Titus, when he's writing to Titus. He said, I want you to be a certain kind of person that develops good works, clear thinking. And then he tells the Corinthians over here, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For what reason? The work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Work to be people of, and another tricky word is the idea of reputation. Work to be people of a good reputation. And of course, that's always going to be a question about, well, who's thinking that? Look over in 3 John. 3 John. When he writes to them over there talking about Diotrephes and Demetrius, let's see, and we we won't go in the whole lesson here, but verse 9, third John verse 9. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. I don't have time to go into it, but we had a problem there, and he was trying to deal with it. But look down further, verse 12. Look what John says about Demetrius. He says, Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. Boy, Demetrius is a good guy. I don't know how good he was doing or what he was doing. But when John would write to him, he said, you know, everybody knows that Demetrius does a good work, and that Diotrephes guy's, I'll deal with him when I get there. I mean, who would you say here's a good, who's a good person? Unfortunately, we're talking about members of the church, aren't we? And that's not fun. This is one who loves the truth. Go back with me to Acts the 11th chapter. Acts 11th chapter is an interesting thing because commentators like to really jump onto it and talk about it. Because, and you probably know where I'm going, Barnabas seems to have been a very respected person of the church in the early church in Jerusalem, and quite capable. And matter of fact, if you're there in Acts 11th chapter with me, back up to Acts the 9th chapter, you remember Paul had gone to forgive me. I'm 70 years old, though. That's all I don't worry about. What's the name of the city that Paul was going to bring back people? Oh, pardon me? Memphis. Damascus, okay. Thank you. I thought, no, it couldn't have been Memphis. Well, Paul is converted to the truth there by the gospel preacher. And when you read Galatians again, you find out he was gone for about 3 years. And when he comes back, you see verse 26, Acts the 9th chapter. Verse 26, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But, and here's where Barnabas makes his entrance. Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And so he was with them in Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists. But they attempted to kill him, and so the brethren sent him away. I don't know who Barnabas was, but Barnabas had some influence, didn't he? He's Christian, and when Saul, comes back to Jerusalem after being gone several years, and they're hearing strange things about him. The Jewish people don't know what to think about him. Brethren don't know what to think about him. And he, as we see there, it says, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. But they, as you just read, they didn't just say no. They said what? Well, it goes on to say, but they were all afraid of him. Well, I mean, that's not hard with regard to Paul. I mean, Paul's reputation, for whatever that was, preceded him, didn't it? But Barnabas steps forward, and Barnabas apparently had a lot of people had a lot of confidence in Barnabas, and Barnabas steps forward. So wait a minute, let's talk about this. And he tells them about Saul, and they work it out, and so much so that Paul begins to speak boldly in the name of the Lord, disputed with the Hellenists, Jewish people for the most part, and he has to leave there. But you remember several chapters on now, over in the 15th chapter, that after they had Barnabas and Paul go out on their first missionary journey, and they come back, and they're in Antioch, and they're doing a lot of good work, and then they were asked to go to Jerusalem, and in the 15th chapter of Acts, we call it the Jerusalem Council, they all came together, all of the apostles, prophets, all of the elders, preachers, they all came together to discuss this idea of whether or not the Gentiles needed to be circumcised and keep the old law. And they worked that all out. But when you come down to the end of the 15th chapter of Acts, is where you find Barnabas and Saul have a problem, don't they? In verse 36 of Acts 15, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Where we preach the word. Now, Barnabas was determined to take with them John Call Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take him with them, the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas. What do we do with something like that? I mean, you and I standing off back out here, we're just listening to the discussion. They're having a difficult discussion. And I would think both of them are great men. Both of them are good men. Both of them are great gospel preachers with much influence. They're just having a difference of opinion. So what do we do about it? And it seems rather hard. As a matter of fact, as far as the Bible's concerned, they never speak again. And yet their attitudes were different in different places. They both were conciliatory to one another. As a matter of fact, when Paul is, if you go forward with me again, and just a couple of years later, when Paul is in Ephesus, he writes his letter of Corinthians. When he's in Ephesus, he writes it back to the Corinthians. And over in the 9th chapter, One of the things he's having to discuss over here in the 9th chapter, 1 Corinthians, is support of people, preachers, and things of that nature. And one of the interesting examples he gives, let's see, we're in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 3. My defense to those who examine me is this: do we not have a right to eat and drink? Do we not have right? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also other apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from work or to be supported by the congregations? Paul would still use Barnabas as a person who is worthy of a church supporting him. I don't think Paul is going to railroad him at all. But, I mean, he uses Barnabas here as an example. He says, or is only Barnabas and I and him together? He said, we're worthy of support. And, again, this is a different context altogether. It's just that he uses Barnabas. And then over in... he used Colossians, the 4th chapter. I'm thinking through this. Colossians, the 4th chapter. And we read down. Yeah, okay. In Colossians, the 4th chapter, he's writing to, again, he's in Ephesus, and writing a letter to the Colossian brethren who have some issues. And we read in Colossians 4, and he mentions several people. Verse 7, Tychicus, down in verse 9, Onesimus, as a faithful, beloved brother, and they will make known to you all things that are happening. Look at verse 10. He says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instruction. If he comes to you, welcome him. Welcome him. I think there was a difference of opinion several years before. Maybe Mark was a young guy and maybe he hadn't made a complete decision of how he wanted to conduct his life. And maybe Paul is this firebrand, on fire person for the gospel of Christ. He doesn't have a lot of time for a lot of other people. And then you got someone like Barnabas who is a good guy, but John Mark is maybe a nephew, is he? I think. He's thinking, well, we just give him another chance, let him grow into it. Well, apparently several years later he had, because John Mark here is listed in the several people who work with Paul in and out, Onesimus, Tychicus, and Aristarchus, and several others. And he even later on tells him he is, well, look with me over I won't go there. I'm not sure I've got it. But he tells him to bring Mark with you because he's valuable to me. What I'm saying is many times people have disagreements and people can do good works, but maybe those good works in serving the Lord go in different directions, and maybe we need to be a little more conciliatory about decisions that are trying to be made. Apostle Paul was not Barnabas. Barnabas wasn't the Apostle Paul, but they seemed both to be very good men. They just had a difference of opinion about what they were going to do. And I'm sure their life, both of them, was very stressful. But it seems like, now, like I said, I don't know if they ever worked together again, but it seems like they became conciliatory later on and even recommended them. But coming back to this idea of a good person is a person that God calls good. They do the Lord's work, and they do the Lord's work for the reason He would have us to do it. It would be wonderful to not only hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That'd be wonderful. And I hope that's what we all work for. But we recognize there are good people. They have a good name. They've chosen good things. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, to be good in the eyes of the Lord, you're going to have to choose to do certain things and put yourself in certain positions and be people of knowledge that are dedicated and devoted. And somebody has a disagreement on it, work it out. Let's keep going. We've got a far bigger mission. And I think Paul and Barnabas did. And John Mark grew up to be a gospel preacher worthy of support. But let's be a good man. Because in Acts 9, Barnabas is described as a good man. That's all we'd want to be, and by inspiration, we'd love to be called a good person, good man, good woman in the service of God. If you're here and you're not a child of God, you need to be. You need to exercise enough faith to be willing to stand and confess Christ, be baptized into Christ, and to arise to walk in the straight and narrow path. If you're a child of God, maybe you desire the prayers of the brethren, we'd be more than happy to go to God's throne on your behalf. And if you're subject to that call, we'd ask that you would come as we stand and sing.